You're listening to The Move with Jared Dattis and Michael Ray, conversations exploring why healthcare real estate is moving from alternative to essential, and how smart capital is making the shift to one of the most overlooked asset classes today.
Morning, Mike.
Morning, JD. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Okay, I want to thank you for last night. I thought dinner with our friends and colleagues was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Thanks for arranging that. What did you think of the Chilorinos and green chili?
Well, absent the heretical act of serving them as if they were egg rolls, they were fine. But, you know, it's funny you talk about green chili because I've never quite understood this sort of Colorado phenomenon. I mean, you know, this particular establishment is
we're the home of green chili. You know,
well,
this, right?
Allegedly, right? I mean, they swear, you know, people brush their teeth with the stuff. But you know, I mean, it's not that it's not good, but you know, it wasn't religious.
Okay, fair enough. You know, it was a little spicy.
So, would you put it up there though?
Maybe. Yeah. Depends on the day. But I enjoyed last night. Yeah. So thank you. All right. So I'm excited about our talk today. Today is a little different. So we've been focused on healthcare investment and development. And an important part of what we are doing day in, day out, and what investors, some are very keen to the concept of the importance of design and architecture. I'd like to do a deeper dive today. And I think today is really interesting. Back when I started my career in healthcare real estate, one of our founders, Greg Venn, who has a deep background in architecture, helped me understand and create a curiosity around design, but not for just design's sake, but what it meant to the actual consumers of the space, but maybe even more importantly, what it meant to investors. Mm-hmm. And so today I want to introduce a special guest that we have here today, and that's Steve Kristoff. And he's one of my most favorite human beings on the planet.
Love this guy.
Known Steve for about 12 years, and you've been at NextCore now for 10 years.
That's right.
And I would love for you to just give a brief overview for our listeners, who you are, what do you do here, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm excited to be part of your conversation. It's an important conversation. I am the Senior Vice President of Design for NextCore, and I've spent 35 years in architecture designing healthcare spaces in senior living communities. My work here is curating a design thought around what a high performance asset looks like and should be in the marketplace for both our healthcare products, our senior living communities, and our science and tech products as well.
Oh, that's great.
So thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So we're going to focus this conversation around investors. Before we even get to the capital side of this equation on design, let's do a little bit of a deeper dive here into the medical domain and why design matters. I think philosophically, internally, we have a belief that design is important, that we believe everybody deserves space where they can flourish, whether that be patients, providers, the aging, where healthcare can be inspired for people, where we can spark different creativity in our environments, where we can create connection for people. Let's talk about medical and where do you see design having an impact to first our user, and then what does that look like from an investor perspective, and why is that important? And whether you want to start from a healthcare hospital sponsored medical facility, or you want to start from a provider perspective or a patient perspective, I'm just curious, go where you want to go in that conversation.
Sure. Well, let's deal with the big question. Does design matter? And it absolutely matters. When you think about what we're doing is building an investment product, right? And it's a little bit like saying to Apple, well, you know, you can make an iPhone, but does design matter? Well, design matters greatly towards the products that they make. So wrapping our heads around, well, what is great design in the medical ambulatory building asset class? Well, fundamentally, all good design responds to well-defined problems And understanding what the problem is the first step in making a product that's durable and adds value and will continue to add value over time. So in my 35-year career, the problem has always come from three places, and it will continue to do that in the next 50 years. Those drivers in healthcare are always technology, always demographics, and always regulation. This hasn't changed. It won't change. And when you think, Jared and Michael Ray, about where we're at this unique place in time, mm-hmm. can you think of three more important drivers that we're looking at right now, where we're a place where demographics in healthcare is essential? I mean, we're looking at huge populations are going to need this service
period of time. But it's interesting too, because each of those things are also rapidly evolving themselves. So it feels like the way in which you describe that, which I always love, because my brain is wired very differently from yours. And so that's why I always sort
good
of
thing we work together.
Wonder twin powers activate, right? So, but because of that, constant fluidity and change with respect to those three, problem areas, how do you, and we're building a physical asset that's intended to, stand the test of time while consistently delivering on that intrinsic value proposition for the capital that has facilitated that opportunity. So how do you stay ahead of it? I mean, obviously it's super challenging to future-proof anything, but how do you try to at least, ensure that you're on the wave?
Yeah. This is going to sound repetitive, but I'm going to go right back to, we've got to keep the pulse of the problem. Okay. And in healthcare today, from the patient perspective and from the health system perspective, so these are users of these assets. Adherence is the biggest problem in healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's not diagnosis. It's not therapeutics. It's not technology. It's not pharmaceuticals. It's not anything that we can deliver. We're extremely good at that. It's the behavior of patients. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about reimbursement and money and how money flows mm-hmm. through these assets, outcomes depend on the behaviors of patients. So our buildings have to respond to creating. Nobody wants to go to the doctor. I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, I can't wait to get to the doctor today. Right. This is the last thing patients are thinking about.
Yeah.
But
it's quite the opposite. Like, what can I do to avoid?
Right. There's no good news at the doctor, right? You're going there. It's not like they're going to give you good news.
Right.
Except for maybe the birth of a new child.
Yeah.
But everything is downward trending. And so from a behavioral perspective, a patient's thinking, wow, I really don't want to get told a whole bunch of bad news. What patients want a coach. They want someone that's going to pat them on the back and give them good news and good reason to continue to do what they're doing. But physicians don't have time for that. And so you look at a physician problem. The biggest problem physicians have is time.
Right.
Right. So they want more than anything to spend time healing people. That's what they're trained to do. But they're also growing a practice, and they have financial responsibilities. And if they work for a system, there's productivity goals and all these things. So saving physicians time is another part of the problem. And one of the best things that saves physicians time is their team. Mm. And so you think about the nurses and the medical assistants and all of the people that surround physicians. 3.25 per people per physician is the benchmark. And that is a high trend. We're trying to push that down. We're trying to do that with less FTEs. So these are start to define the problem. So how do you get a under supplied market of physicians and caregivers to be more efficient and more effective? And they all have different needs, because care teams want more than anything camaraderie. They want a good, beautiful environment to work in. that enlightens them and brings them to light, right? And patients want care, and they want to be listened to, and they want to be understood. They want a personal relationship.
So I have a question about this. And so,
okay, we're going to get to design, I promise you.
Well, it's very interesting. And ultimately, these big problems that we're trying to solve here mm-hmm. end up in a physical solution. Mm-hmm. And so we're at this intersection of how do we marry the outcomes of high quality care, good, great patient experience, taking care of the providers. They are also looking for an amazing patient and provider experience. And what I heard you talk about is this need to save time because the providers are stressed and they're trying to see more patients. We've talked before about there's pressure in reimbursement. That's and right. So, you know, the more patients that providers can see, they're serving a greater need. And ideally, economically, it's better off for them as well. How do buildings today, intelligently designed medical buildings, meet all of those needs?
Well, that's a question that I've dedicated my career to. And I wake up every morning and go to bed every night answering those questions and digging in. But the answer to solving those problems in terms of a built object, a built environment, which is an asset, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Is to deeply, deeply understand how to solve each one of those unique problems in a way that's harmonious in one single product.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that seems like you've got a lot of tension there, mm-hmm. but what we're doing that's different is we're thinking about process and we're thinking about the change in process and flexibility over time from our provider and patient workflows, and thinking about how do we bring delight to patients when they walk in the door so that they feel like there isn't a desk between them and the human being that they are interacting with. Mm-hmm. There isn't a countertop like the Division of Motor Vehicles, take a number and sit down and we'll get to you. There isn't a stack of paperwork. There isn't any of those things. What they really want is to be warmly welcomed and educated and learn about how can I care for myself better? And do you care about me? Does it matter?
Yeah.
And so we have to convey that through technology, through the environment that they're in. It needs to lower your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It needs to have the right color. It needs to have daylight. It needs to have the right atmosphere. It needs sensory music, the right music, the right tone. All those things have to be just right.
Yeah.
We're responding to something that is human, and human nature will always want those things. Mm. Okay. So we're trying to get to what's universal about the experience. Mm-hmm. That's where value is because it will be enduring. Mm-hmm. On the other side of this object is an organization that's working towards creating better medical outcomes. Mm-hmm. The experience is different. Mm-hmm. The physicians are thinking, okay, I need more time with my patient. That means I need less time doing paperwork, less time traveling, less time doing menial tasks. I need less time waiting for people to get moved in and out so I have better throughput. So we spend a lot of time looking at the travel paths, the workflows of providers. And those have greatly changed with the advent of the EMR and the use of technology and the design of space to create platforms that are more efficient for human movement and human communication. And I would emphasize communication, Jared, because one of the greatest productivity disruptors is miscommunication. Mm-hmm. And through great studies that we've done, interviews and filming and observations and tracking paths, we've learned that productivity for physicians primarily relies on the visual communication between a provider and their medical assistant. Now, who would have thought, right? Mm-hmm. So now when we look at design on the production side, we're looking at, are we creating visual pathways so that the medical assistant can see the provider move from exam room A to exam room B and knows that, oh, they have a results order that's coming out of exam room A. Mm-hmm. The physician can look across the space and communicate visually mm-hmm. with the provider. And that sounds crazy, but that's how we all work.
Right.
So this is a design element that we've studied multiple concepts and how to organize more exam rooms in less space with better visual communication, smaller travel pads, and a better patient experience.
So I'm going to draw on something you just said. And so there's some themes that are coming up
here. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion around efficiency and outcomes, patient experience, provider experience. These buildings that we are organizing are really intelligent facilities for care. Steve's emphasizing the demographic growth, the amazing need. How do you think, again, why is this important to the investor?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, again, it fascinates me to hear that because it's, you know, as a linear individual that more often than not views these things in the abstract, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're reviewing spreadsheets and things. We're not necessarily, it's not that we're not concerned, but we're not overly concerned with that sort of experiential environment and thing. And again, I think this is another thing that differentiates healthcare real estate from other asset classes, because in other asset classes, the intention around design is de-emphasized, if emphasized at all, because all that matters in that context is a direct correlation between cost and recoupment of that cost in the form of rent. Whereas here, what you're describing is the essential function of ensuring that the design facilitates productivity and ultimately the effective outcome.
And I think why that's important, as we think about this, we have healthcare systems that are in many cases signing leases that are 12 or 15 years. We have providers that are signing long-term leases. These are our homes for our tenants.
Right.
And the more that we can help them be successful in their businesses of providing care, the better opportunity they have to succeed in our building, want to stay in the building, and the benefit back to the investor is, again, and you said it, there's durability and value creation that happens through good design.
Through good design, but I think that there's another critical component that at least the capital mindset would still need to understand, because as a patient, mm-hmm. you know, as the individual that's experiencing the very sort of the value and the benefits of everything that you describe, I think, you know, whether it's the unasked or unanswered question, it doesn't matter, but how it still does from a capital perspective come back to cost, you know, and we've had a lot of dialogue and conversation around this asset class as being, you know, obviously needs-based stuff, but it is consistent, it's stable, it delivers those solid returns. So at some point in this process, we still need to reconcile the need to have this intelligent design with the need to manage cost.
Well, so
how,
And I wonder if this is an opportunity, Steve, to get your thoughts about this. So as Michael was saying, cost is extremely important in the overall equation of putting a project together,
right,
making an investment. And it may be a good point now to transition to seniors, since we're sure. really trying to manage cost, and design is another vital, important element to the overall success of a senior living development. So with that in mind, and Michael's question about how we're integrating this intelligent design and managing costs so that we can make smart investments, how does that show up in seniors?
Well, look, first of all, great design doesn't cost more. Okay. In fact, great design costs
less. Unless you're building your dream home.
Well, I suppose materials can matter
and
impact, but the outcome again in great design for seniors, and again, It comes right back to what I said on the onset, which is great design responds to the problem. And so the problem is inherently different in our senior living communities. And I emphasize living because so many people think of a senior community as a place, well, that's where I'm going to go to die. No, we think about senior living community. That's where I'm going to thrive. This is the place that I am going to go to extend my life. Mm. And so now we're back to responding to what is the human condition and what we're building a building that is going to respond to the essential problem of the aging human condition. And you have to get right back to trying to put your fingers on the most important thing to our residents. And they are these. It's very simple. To live a long, healthy life, let's start with a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And then let's start with good living. And when I say good living, I mean particularly a great diet, exercise, and social interaction. Mm-hmm. If you can have a sense of purpose surrounded by a community of people that share a common experience and share common values, that now they can call themselves a group, a community. That's how we've defined community.
Yeah.
And good design and senior living is really about anthropology. It's really about the study of how people live and want to live. Mm. But we know, and there's many studies that have been done that come back to those essential things that I just talked about. The longest living humans have this in common: a strong sense of purpose, a strong sense of belonging to a meaningful community and a position in it, a good diet, exercise.
Which is interesting because
social interaction.
That's, to me, that's so intuitive and obvious, yet when you survey the existing landscape, that is not representative of anything that the average bear would sort of associate with senior living communities.
Yeah, it's terrible design. You think about some of these communities that are in the market,
right,
that we're competing with, and you go into those buildings and you walk through and you're like, oh my, this is terrible.
So what are things then that we are doing as from a design perspective, yeah, to meet those needs? Because frankly, to your point, it doesn't exist, and so there is this shift to it. Obviously, Jared and I have talked at length about the consumer. The consumer driven focus of this, aging demographic and how they are demanding a different outcome that is consistent with, the fundamentals that you just described. So what are some specific things within our communities that we're doing to facilitate?
Now the conversation is getting excited. Well, we're going to talk about real design.
I'm leading it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, keep in mind too, because done properly, this creates an opportunity that people get excited about, where a senior living community is a place of choice that they want to come to and live and experience everything you describe. From an investor perspective, it's wonderful because now you're talking about fully leased communities.
That's right.
And those are, again, durable in nature, and word of mouth happens and more residents come, and it really creates the community that you describe. So it creates a win-win for all involved. I want to keep that in mind as you think about what are some of these design elements.
Well, it doesn't cost more to make great design. It just takes thought.
Yeah, because you're working from the same footprint.
Because you're working from the same footprint. Yeah. The market will bear so many square foot per unit. The costs are the same. So the difference is how you do it. And and how you do it depends on how you look at the problem. So I framed that. Now let's get into your real question. Where does design take place? Design takes place in making places for humans to interact and do those things that are meaningful. Now, that sounds like a really broad term, but let's think about the human experience. We all have sensory experiences, and those sensory experiences exist in different ways, and they mean different things to different people. We can all think back in our lives about great places that we love, that are part of our life, that we think back to again and again and again. Maybe there are places in our childhood or places along our lives. And you think about what makes that place great. Why do I like it so much? What is so wonderful about that? They often have things in common. Mm-hmm. And you, Michael Ray, and you, Jared, can talk about these places that are important to you in your sure. life, but you will, it's, there will be very different places, but essentially you will come back to the same things that you say you like about.
There's a throughput. They could be geographically diverse, but that's to your point, there's, okay.
And throughout history and ancient history, architects have understood what great place is and what needs to happen. Yeah. So I'll give you some specific examples that are, that exist inside of our communities. And their design is intentional here. We're thinking through every movement and every aspect of the lives of our residents. So we need a place to gather. We need a place to gather intimately. We need a place to gather socially. So think about where are we going to do that, right? We need, human beings are convivial people. So we want to get together and talk about something that is important to us. Maybe we've started a foundation, or maybe the community members have started a cause, right? And there's a group of five or six that have gotten together and said, we are, remember, living in purpose, right? So we have to make places where this can happen and encourage that, because the idea is not to sit in your unit. It's to get out and enjoy this community right. that you, that, yeah. and you're better off for being here and live a healthier life.
Yeah.
If you're in our community gathering and drinking, eating, exercising.
Yeah. It's not your sort of stereotypical, you know, fellowship hall, if you will, that's yeah. got, you know, a few sort of, you know, expandable accordion dividers, and you know, it's just like, you know, the Mahjong group meets here, and then you know, the
right. I see you, you at know,
the seniors for you know, whatever political cause is going on or whatever. Right. You know, certainly, because that's one thing I've experienced is as you know, our communities have come to life. It's not only that sort of flow that you speak about, both in the context of medical, but it's. It is that sort of variety and diversity of space, whether it's an outdoor kitchen space or a gym and a movement area to the maker space. I mean, one of my favorite things in the community that you designed here in South Denver is that maker
space. Yeah,
you know,
that's with a cool
the kiln
space.
And the pottery and things. And it's yeah. just like, you know, as again, as a linear individual who, you know, lacks creativity.
You know what makes that space great? And this is... Any other design would have just made, oh, we're going to make a maker space. Okay.
Right.
It's going to be 30 feet by 20 feet. So that isn't what we were trying to do.
Right.
It came back to what makes that space great is that's daylight on two sides. It's northwest facing. So this is intentional design. Art does not want to be south facing. It wants ambient light that filters in from the north and from the west. That is what's going to bring the blue colors. See, this is, you have to understand design. In the evening light.
But see, even if I don't.
In the evening
even,
light.
But even if I don't, right? Okay. And I think, and this is what resonates with me. And also I think with sort of a similarly minded capital base is, even if I don't understand the nuance of that design,
yeah,
as a resident,
you
or even
you
as a guest, because I don't have to, because it just it exudes that feeling, right?
Exactly.
And like, I don't have to be Picasso, I can be Picard and just you know, paint a smiley face, but you know what, I'm gonna feel as if I am finally in my life created,
and that's what I mean yeah. when I say we've got to understand the problem and you have to design to the universal.
Right.
And that it's, you may not be able to explain why that space
right.
is so important to you, Jared, but you and Michael Ray can talk about these two spaces.
You can feel it.
And you can feel it.
Yeah. You feel it. And our investors have felt it when they walk through the space. They
that's
know
right.
something special is going
well,
on.
Well, that's great design.
So
yeah.
well, as we talk about great design yeah. some more, I'd feel remiss if we don't touch on science. Science is an important part of the overall healthcare portfolio, important for investors, but there's different activities that go on. Can you briefly tell us in your thoughts about the importance of design related to seniors? Is it different? Science. I'm sorry, science.
Yeah, you threw me off there.
Sorry. I thought we were Why do that? I was testing to see if you were paying attention.
Yeah, look over here.
So, again, all design comes back to defining the problem, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how NextCore thinks. That's how great designers think. And design is important at NextCore. So we're going to take the hard path. And when you think about science, laboratory space is a very dimensional, easy thing to design. There's bench dimensions and hood dimensions, and any good architect that understands science knows exactly how to make a high performing, flexible laboratory environment. That's not the hard part. Mm-hmm. The hard part is how to create a place where great science can happen. Mm. And to do that, you need to understand who is a scientist and what does a scientist need to make great science. And more importantly, science isn't made by one scientist. It's made by many scientists working collaboratively together, diligently over a problem for years, and running tests and trials and tests and trials. And ultimately, great science happens in those breakthrough moments. Our buildings have to respond to facilitating, creating a place for human beings to have breakthrough moments.
I love
that. That differentiates our buildings from just another building for science.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's a great place to sort of, you know, bring you into a little thing that we do here. You know, so our podcast is called The Move. And so one of the things that Jared and I like to do at the end is, again, this is a sort of a capital facing conversation, and I like to put ourselves in the shoes of an investor and kind of take into account, you know, the topic of conversation that we've had and ask each other sort of what's your move. So, Steve, in the context of design and its import in terms of creating or you know, assisting with that intrinsic value in real estate as it relates to the investor, what's your move?
The move is clear. Move toward a greater understanding of a high performance asset. Not all buildings are created the same. And you may not be able to tell from the outside.
I love it. JD, what's your move?
Oh, Steve said it. Design is about solving problems. So for the investor, it's exactly what Steve just said. There is a differentiation going on in asset classes, and design is a big piece of that. And that design can translate and understanding that design to some accretiveness in these investments.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, my move is to pay attention. I mean, you know, I come from a world and a perspective where it's easy to, you know, get lost in pro formas and numbers and these sort of abstract things that bear no relation to the impact that the physical environment can have on the user. And that's mm-hmm. that sort of intrinsic value that gets created. And you can't find that direct correlation on a spreadsheet, but it's absolutely there on your exit. So
that's right.
So my move is stop and rethink, and design matters.
I love that. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah, Steve.
We've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
That's a wrap.
Tortilla.
There we go.
Thanks for listening to The Move, a show exploring what's shaping the future of healthcare real estate. If you liked what you heard, follow the show and share with someone you know looking to make their next move.